Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Fantasy Team Advice Football Podcast.
Good evening and welcome to Fantasy Team Advice Podcast. My name is David Feld, and I'll be your host this evening. This is episode number 30, and we're here to talk about football, even though there's absolutely nothing going on. It's 4 weeks until draft weekend in Chicago, and with the Final Four in the NCAA men's basketball and baseball season now dominating the news, the NFL is just not the top priority right now in the sports rotation, but that's what we're here for, to guide whoever's listening through the maze of fantasy football and hopefully deliver some valuable nuggets that will help give you an edge in your fantasy league. Tonight, we're joined by fantasy team advice writer Brad Jurdy, who also writes on baseball. He can be found via the author search at fantasyteamadvice.com. And if you go over there, click on baseball, and you can, I'm sure he's got an article or two up there already. And he did a PPR analysis for us last year on the NFL. So head on over to the website and check out all the great content from not only Brad Jurdy and myself covering football and baseball, but articles and fantasy advice on a wide range of sports from NASCAR to football. Good evening, Brad. How you doing? Oh, please tell me this isn't happening again. Brad, can you hear me? Oh, my goodness gracious, I swear. One of these days we're going to get this straight. Brad, are you there? Brad?
Is that bad? Can you hear me now?
Yes, I can hear you. Fantastic.
Can you hear me now?
How you doing?
Dave? Can you hear me now?
I can hear you now, Brad. This is Brad Jurdy calling from Alabama via Lebanon, Pennsylvania. Is that correct?
Originally, yes.
Yeah. At least you're having weather. At least you have a nice weather down there. It's been snowing like crazy today up here. Like winter all over again. Anyway, how you doing?
Doing pretty good. Just got done with a soccer game. I coach high school soccer. Would have missed this appearance had I not gotten the reminder about it. I had a cell phone issue last week and didn't get everything transferred over. So,
been there, did that. It's just, you know. We're working on it. It's only episode number 30, but one of these days we're going to get this straight and it's going to be smooth and I'll be shocked and so will the other person listening to most of these podcasts will be too. But anyway, let's jump right in. The Arizona Cardinals look like they're not going to pay the freight to obtain Adrian Peterson. It seems like they were pretty much the only suitor who was looking to cough up the $12 million annually plus whatever draft picks and whatever players they were going to have to give up to get him. And with the Vikings holding all the cards there, it looks like he's going to be back with the Vikings, which if you're a Vikings fan is probably fantastic news. And, I really like the prospects of the Vikings. You know, let's talk about the Vikings for a minute, or for a while, actually. I really like the prospects of the Viking offense. So, Brad, you know, I know you follow them closely, so why don't you go ahead and just riff away on what you think about the Vikings here.
Well, I actually was able to go to training camp last year and take a look at them. And if you're a Vikings fan or know much about the Vikings, it's not an easy thing being a Vikings fan. A lot of disappointments along the way. They lost 4 Super Bowls pretty much before I started following football, and I've watched them lose 4 NFC Championship games. But, you know, I can honestly say that going into this season, I was excited about them as I've been in a long time. I really liked the hiring of Zimmer, and I was ecstatic about the hiring of Norv Turner to run the offense. He's one of the best offensive coordinators out there. You know, and then the whole thing with Peterson happened, and I thought they held their own pretty well, and Bridgewater looked good when he came in.
Yeah, it looks like they found their quarterback. Why don't you? I mean, you got to be pumped about that.
Yeah, absolutely. I believe he broke a Vikings record for wins for a rookie QB. Was the Pepsi Rookie of the Year. To me, he looked more poised and more comfortable every game that he was in there. And I like the guy. I like the fact that he's a pocket passer. He's a passer first. He'll pull the ball down, run when he has to. He's not going to look at his first read and then look to run. He's gonna go through the progressions, and running is the last resort. And I
Which
really
goes,
like
you that. Know, that not looking for the first progression thing goes a long way into figuring out why Charles Johnson just all of a sudden exploded on the scene.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, Kyle Rudolph's hurt all year. Cordarrelle Patterson, I guess he just doesn't know what to be, you know, where to be, when he's supposed to be there, and I don't know, they don't trust him. And Greg Jennings didn't, you know, I mean, he was okay, but, you know, not for the kind of bank they were paying him. And all of a sudden, you know, now out of the number two slot comes this Charles Johnson cat, and he looks pretty good. And, you know, I mean, I don't know if it's a function of a good quarterback making a late-round pick from a couple years ago look good, but whatever the case is, it's working. They found something.
Yeah, he's bigger
and then
than
he Wallace here. Just, you guys got to be – I mean, the Vikings fans have to be pumped up about the offense this season.
Absolutely, especially with assuming Peterson's in the backfield there. I couldn't be more excited. And that's one of the things that was frustrating for me a little bit going throughout the season is so many of the talking heads, so to speak, when Peterson wasn't available, began talking about McKinnon as though he was drafted to be the heir apparent to Peterson. And then I can tell you that's simply not the case. The guy was a quarterback / running back in college, and he was drafted solely as a toy for Norv Turner. I'm absolutely convinced about that. Peterson's under contract for three more years.
He's a football player. Jerick McKinnon looks to me like a pretty good football player, not necessarily a guy who's going to be the heir apparent at running back or even a wide receiver or even a part-time quarterback. He just looks like a good football player to me. He could do a couple things for you.
Right.
He came out of the combine with like otherworldly measurables, like running back speed and linebacker strength with like insane agility. Plus, he can throw the ball. So, I mean, I see some, you know, Norv Turner, like you said, one of the better offensive coordinators, if not the best guy, you know, next to Chip Kelly in football, as far as offensive, you know, ingenuity goes. And having an extra little weapon like that around, no, not that he's little, but I mean, having an extra weapon like that around to do a couple of different things, I could, you know, it just gives more, you know, just gives, like you said, gives Norv another toy to, you know, to add to the arsenal there. I'm telling you, man, I like the way it looks. I like the left tackle. I like the way the line's shaping up. If Kyle Rudolph can stay healthy, I think he's a really good player. Quarterback you found. The defense is getting better. The linebacker you drafted is fantastic. All they got to do is get a couple of cornerbacks, and they might be playoff ready next year.
Well, and speaking of the line, I won't even try to butcher the guy's name from Poland that they signed this week, but he's going to play right tackle or at least in the depth chart at right tackle. 6'9", 351 pounds.
Oh, yeah, the dude, the European
Dickson
football dude,
Lindvall
whatever his
Joseph,
name is.
Man,
I can't pronounce that either, dude. I'm a loss with that. It's like Babatunde Ayagabusi or something like that.
It's Babatunde Ayagabusi. Yeah, something along those lines.
It's like, can I buy a continent, please, or something here.
But, you know,
but that's a great name.
Joseph is not a small man. And he's got an inch and about 20 pounds on him.
Wow. Yeah. So, yeah, but I don't see – I mean, he's not going to take over for Loadholt, is he? I mean, that's – you know, Loadholt's starting right back.
I'm sorry. That's who I meant. He's bigger than Loadholt. Will he take over for him? Probably not. I have no idea.
Loadholt's a pretty good player. That line is solid, dude. Man, I'm super happy. I mean, David Yankee's a good player. Matt Khalil's a nice guard, you know, nice left tackle. I mean, he's not always great against the speed rusher on the outside, but man, he can plow people down. Good, it's gonna be good. I see nothing.
Yeah, he's got to pick it up here in his third season. He had a bit of a down year. Khalil did. I don't know if I was picking up the offense, you know, and just not making the right blocks or blocking assignments or whatever, but. He's better than that. He showed that his rookie year. So he's got to be better this year in his third year.
I like Sean Hill to pick up as the backup quarterback. We didn't even talk about the acquisition of Mike Wallace yet, come on, Teddy knows how to throw the deep ball, and here's a deep ball specialist.
Yeah, I was reading somewhere where they were. Talking about that and whether or not Bridgewater had the strength to outthrow him, and they're pretty sure that on a 3-5 step drop, and Bridgewater throws it as far as he can throw it, Wallace can run under it. So
and run underneath it, exactly. He's going to get by a lot of guys. The secondaries in that division are bad. I mean, he's got 6 games against bad secondary. Detroit, I thought, played a little over their heads, and I don't know if if the secondary has the power to withstand. And now that they lost, you know, I don't know if they lost fairly as well, but they lost Ndamukong Suh, and they're going to be hard pressed to get to the quarterback again. So, I see the Viking offense for 6 games anyway in their own division just absolutely annihilating people this year. On offense, I really
especially
do.
Especially if you plug in Peterson in there, arguably the best running back in the NFL,
and a healthy
Kyle Rudolph is a big part of that offense as well.
I think Adrian Peterson, if you're talking about 1 year, if you're talking about 2015, like right now, Adrian Peterson is the best player in football.
I agree.
I just don't. I mean, even DeMarco, it doesn't matter. If you project, like I like to do, which my brother tells me I'm crazy doing, but I'm like, if Adrian Peterson had played behind that Cowboy line, who knows what would have happened? But it didn't work out that way. And DeMarco Murray's a fantastic player. Don't get me wrong. I don't want to be in a position where I'm down talking to DeMarco Murray. But when you're talking about a redraft here and a pretty good offensive line. If I'm in a redraft, I'm probably taking Adrian Peterson as the first running back taken, especially if he's back with the Vikings this year with that offense the way it's going to be. And knowing that's coming, they're going to have to respect the run because every time he touches the ball, if you're not guys in the box, he's gaining 7 yards on you. And that leaves Mike Wallace single covered or Charles Johnson single covered or Kyle Rudolph running down the seam. It's going to be – Norv is going to figure this out really good, and it's going to be a really, really potent offense this year, I think.
McKinnon out there, in a 2-set backfield or in the slot or wherever.
Wherever, exactly.
And if the name just escaped me, who I was trying to think of. Cordarrelle Patterson, if he picks up the offense and is able to run the routes and be involved because he's a lot more talented than he was able to display this past season.
At the very least, all accounts that I saw
was that it was just a problem. He being a little slow and picking up Norv Turner's offense.
Yeah, I think he's probably a little slow in spelling his own first name too. But it's is it Cordarrelle or Cordarrelle or I don't know. We never know.
Is
there an apostrophe with the two dots with the swiggly thing over it? Is it language or is it bait? Sometimes I just don't know. But I'm kidding.
It's absolutely Cordarrelle Patterson.
Okay, it's absolutely Cordarrelle. Okay, we'll go with that. But anyway, at the very least, he's the best kick returner in football. Right?
Yeah,
I mean,
you may have drafted him.
You may have drafted him a little. You know, the Vikings may have drafted him a little bit high, but as soon as he got there, he looked to be like one of the top two or three guys returning kicks. It's like him, Ted Ginn Jr., and you know, and maybe Percy. You know, when he's healthy, but he never
right.
is, so you can't kind of you kind of can't count him. But to me, that's what that looked like. And
well,
I was like, oh my
that
God,
was the
already...
best trade. That was the best trade that I've seen the Vikings make in a long time. I personally can't stand Percy Harvin. He's been a head case since high school. He was banned from competition in Virginia as a senior. And he's been a head case his whole career. Migraines when he was with the Vikings, missed practices. Just, you know, for a guy with that much talent, I hate to see a guy with that much talent wasted. And I couldn't have been happier when they got rid of him, shipped him off to Seattle, and we got essentially Cordarrelle Patterson in his place. And
right.
I think he's every bit as talented. He just has to get the X's and O's together.
Yeah, you got to hope he's capable of doing that because the guy is monstrously talented. And you know, one thing quick on Percy, what does it say about the Super Bowl champions who aren't really, you know, are pretty weak at receiver in general, just don't want him anymore right in the middle of the season. Just say goodbye.
Right.
We'll take a fifth-round pick. We don't even care, you know. Whatever we're paying you, whatever. You know, we just don't want you here, even though we can afford to keep you, we don't want you here. What does that say about him? I mean, come on.
He's an off-field nightmare, and fortunately for him, you know, a lot of that stuff actually doesn't get into the media. But following the Vikings as close as I do and having a couple inside sources there as well, like I said, I was at training camp last year, he's more headache than he's worth, and he's an off the field nightmare, head case, cancer room, locker room cancer, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, he's Buffalo. He's Rex Ryan's headache again, Buffalo now, so that's fine. But you know, I'm thinking, you know, just let's wrap up the Vikings here. I'm thinking that obviously Adrian Peterson's going to be, you know, in any kind of redraft situation, is going to be a top flight guy, or he's going to perform well for whatever fantasy team has him. And I'm thinking Mike Wallace and Teddy Bridgewater. You know, Mike Wallace is like the next guy to take there, and I think he's, you know, he had 10 touchdowns last year, being thrown to by a quarterback whose offensive line was almost dead by the end of the year and by the last four or five games, and who can't throw the deep ball anyway. You know, I mean, I remember I saw a lot of Dolphin football last year. You know, not that I'm a big fan or anything, but just they happened to be playing games I was interested in. And I'm noticing, you know, a couple times a game, they miss touchdowns. Like, you know, if you just made the connection, it would have been a touchdown or a huge gain. And, you know, we're talking a couple times a game there. So, you know, maybe it took a couple hundred yards of receiving yardage away from him and maybe a couple more touchdowns. You know, so he finished with 900-something yards or whatever. So I'm thinking, you know, if they connected on even half the ones they missed, he's a 1,200-yard guy with 12 touchdowns. You know, that's a 12-point fantasy guy. I think we're going to see him make the jump here to 12 points. I think he's in the conversation for that low-end wide receiver one, high-end wide receiver, easy high-end wide receiver two, you know, deal here. So I'm looking forward to good things for the Vikings. But anyway, wrapping this up, we started just talking about the Cardinals not wanting Adrian Peterson, but you know, back over to the Cardinals. I know you mentioned to me that you'd done an article on PPR valuation for running backs last year, and you know, talk to me about what you think about Andre Ellington. It looks like Arizona, you know, that they don't seem too anxious to sign one of the free agent guys. You know, Justin Forsett came in, I guess, for a visit, and they talked to a couple other guys, but they don't seem to be, you know, jumping too fast here to sign a guy. I guess they're seemingly pretty comfortable with what they've got, and Andre Ellington looks like the guy there. You know, Stephon Taylor's a backup, and maybe they draft somebody. You know, maybe they pick up somebody like Duke Johnson or, you know, somebody like that, you know, in the third round or whatever, David Johnson maybe later, what have you. But I see him getting a lot of touches and being a real productive player, kind of like a Jamaal Charles light, if you will. What do you think about that?
I'm not even sure the light's necessary.
Really?
I think he is the guy. He is the man and the real deal. You know, he missed the last four games of the season with the hernia. What I did was the weekly running back PPR rankings for fantasy team advice.
Right.
Sister website, Roto Writers. So I evaluated the running backs on a week by week basis from a PPR standpoint, and he was almost always near the top. He started the season a little slow. You got Carson Palmer back there throwing to him. But he had he caught 46 passes of the 64 that were thrown to him.
That's
395 yards.
That's a little bit of a low percentage for a running back, but I'm going to attribute that to the fact that they used like four quarterbacks or five quarterbacks there. You know, like it was, you know, for a rookie running back, there really wasn't the consistency after Carson Palmer went down. It was like Drew Stanton and Logan Thomas and whatever else they decided to throw at you back there. And, you know, Bruce Arians was keeping that team together with both hands. I thought it was a miracle they even made the playoffs. But and my brother picked them to win the division, by the way. I was shocked at the beginning of the year. He goes, yeah, he goes, they're going to win the division. They go, Carson Palmer is like the stiffest guy on the planet, and the line's not that good. You know, it's like, I don't care. He goes, I think that team's winning the division. Lo and behold.
And those receiving totals are actually through 11 games because he missed the last four, and he's, you know, he started the 12th game. He wasn't targeted. I don't know. I don't remember it clearly whether he was taken out early. He only had five rushing attempts, so he must have just not quite been wanted to be ready, but wasn't quite ready, and they pulled him. So, you know, that's 46 receptions in 11 games for a running back.
Right, and he played those next three games hurt, and then they just sat him down for the rest of the year.
Right.
Yeah. So yeah, I'm not gonna throw him under the bus for the reception, you know, for the low perception percentage for a running back. But man, I'm telling you, so you think that, you know, if he's healthy, he's the guy. He's going to be right up there in the conversation with some of the better running backs.
Absolutely. I mean, he had a 112-yard receiving day in week four last year as well.
I know, against Denver, who loaded up on defense too.
Denver, yeah.
Funny.
So the touchdowns, that's the problem. He only has two touchdowns receiving.
He had 400 yards.
Right. Well, yeah, which by only 8.5 yards per reception. So that, you know, hopefully that comes up a little bit. But like you said, you know, the revolving door at quarterback, he was hurt.
That's a big, huge deal.
And I think he had like I said, the beginning of the season, he was not quite himself either to start the season. But
you know, Brad, if you think about it, when was the last time Arizona
really good weeks? You know, 3 through 10.
When was the last time Arizona had a running back that was fantasy? You know, aside from this guy, you know, projecting that he's healthy. I mean, when Ken Wiesenhunt was the coach there, the running backs and the quarterbacks spent, it seemed to me, in the hospital every other week, and they IR'd like two quarterbacks, three running backs, you know, Rashard Mendenhall, Ryan Williams, all those guys wound up IR'd. They were using like the Rod Stevens howling at the end of the year or something. It was a joke. And then they fire Ken Wiesenhunt. They bring in Bruce Arians, who, you know, has no patience for Jonathan Cooper's nonsense. And he gets lucky and finds a guy in the late round who ended up being a starting guard for him. And I'm thinking, you know, if it wasn't for the great coaching, their line would be in the same condition. And even so, the quarterback still got IR'd, and the running back still missed more than, you know, almost a third of the season, basically. So I'm wondering, you know, you can't predict injuries for the future, obviously, but how do you factor that in when Arizona running backs in general are just not, you know, whether it's Beanie Wells or Rashard Mendenhall or Ryan Williams or whatever it is. I mean, how do you,
yeah,
you know, Thomas
Taylor.
Jones, go back, Michael Pittman, J.J. Arrington. Emmitt Smith. Hey, what do you do? When was the last time they had anybody you could even remotely rely on there? That's the problem.
Ryan Williams, yeah, you know, he's a walking emergency room, but he's a great running back when he's healthy, but he's just never healthy.
I agree. He's never healthy. That's a problem. He's on like his third knee injury now. It's not good. You know, if a guy relies on his wheels, that can't be, you know, that can't be good. But I'm thinking, I'm going to go with the Andre Ellington thing here and say that, you know, I maybe take the chance. If I have a, you know, if he falls to the, in a redraft, if he gets into the middle of that second round, I'm going to grab him there, I think.
Yeah, I would. It's in a PPR,
you know, I think I have him valued pretty high.
I think one of your original questions is, I do think they snag one of the running backs in this year's draft. There's plenty of them.
Yeah, this is a deep class. You know, and you have to plan against it because Stephon Taylor's just not good enough. I mean, he's a decent player, but that's not a guy who I would look at and say, okay, that's going to be my guy in case Andre Ellington goes down. I think they're going to be looking at it like Cincinnati looked at it last year. They're like, okay, we have a really good pass-catching, elusive running back in Giovanni Bernard, but we could, you know, Ben Jarvis Green Ellis is like 35, and, you know, he's not very fast. We got to draft somebody. They drafted Jeremy Hill, and look what happened. Now, I think that's you're going to see a similar dynamic in Arizona, I think. You're going to have to share the rock. The line's not good enough for a guy, I think, is my opinion now. The line's not good enough right now to support the long-term health prospects of somebody of Andre Ellington's size. I don't know if that's true or not. I don't know if that's going to play out that way, but that's just my inclination. And so I hedge that, you know, so I have him hedged down. And if the line's good there, you know, if he's on Philadelphia or if he's on Dallas, I'm like, holy mackerel, I'm taking him at the top, you know, very near the top of the heat, like in that middle of that first round thing. But, you know, because of the line condition, that's the only reason I'm saying that. And, you know, and the health of the skilled players that's affected thereby, a bad offensive line. So I don't know. But, you know, I mean, this is
living just a half hour from Mobile right now as I do. I also have the added advantage of being able to take in the Senior Bowl every year and watch the practices.
That's awesome.
A little bit off topic, but as far as there's a lot of running backs in this draft class,
I love Todd Gurley. I mean, I think Todd Gurley's going to be, you know, I mean, he's going to be as good as whoever. And as far as the number two running back goes, a lot of people are talking up Melvin Gordon. I can make the case for Jay Ajayi or Duke Johnson there. And I'm happy with either guy. So, oh, yeah. Amir Abdullah is a good player. I mean, there's a ton of good running backs.
One of the most fundamentally sound guys that I saw at the Senior Bowl, I haven't heard a word from or about. And, you know, maybe it was just me. I don't know, but I don't think enough people are talking about Tyler Varga, running back from Yale. He's one of those guys that might get taken in the fifth, sixth round by somebody and really surprised. I really liked what I saw from him in practices.
Well, Brad, we'll look forward to it. Right now, believe it or not, we just spent our half hour talking nice about the Vikings and the Arizona Cardinals. We didn't get a chance to talk about Eric Ebron, which I really wanted to do because I think he's going to take a step up this year as well. But we are down to like 15 seconds here. I'm gonna wish you have a great week and a happy Easter, and I will talk to you on the other side.
All right, thanks. Yeah, Ebron has no choice but to get a little bit better this year.
Okay, sure. I agree. Have a great evening.
Thanks. You too, Dave.
Bye bye.